Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike D'Antilio, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 6:30 tonight, and then we throw it to the Saints Radio Network right here on the Big 870. It'll be the Rouse's Coaches Market Show with head coach Sean Payton. His guest tonight will be defensive line coach Ryan Nielsen, and he'll join Zach Strieve, Bobby Hebert, myself, and then we'll finish it out at 7:30 tonight right here on the Big 870. Kansas City Chiefs play the L.A. Chargers, that game in Mexico City. And if you're in the area and you stop on by and see us, they have the board up for the Monday night game. Get you a square there. Get a chance to win some nice cash money, so to speak, here at the Silver Slipper. Each and every Monday night, we joined by Mr. Dave Hilbert from the Silver Slipper. Hi, Dave.
Man. Good to be here.
Good to see you, brother. Now, everybody's in a good mood today.
They should be. Got a double winner.
A big win by the Saints, and they covered, so that was the big part of it. And onward and upward, now play the Carolina Panthers. And then, man, what a crazy second half for LSU and Ole Miss.
Oh, man, that was it.
LSU just took the belt out, spanked them good in the first half, only gave up 7 points. And then all of a sudden, John Rhys Plumlee just goes wild on LSU, running the football, gets Ole Miss at least back into the ball game. But Joe Burrow, I know he threw 2 picks in the game, but he's just great again.
Like, where did this Plumlee kid come from? But I did see where Plumlee did great against Alabama as well. I think that score, they were Alabama. Yeah. When they played Alabama, Alabama won 59-31. We won 58-37. But Plumlee had over 100 yards rushing in that game.
So everybody's had a little bit of problems with. Now, one thing about it is, man, Matt Corral, who has really started the season out as the quarterback. Man, I saw him at the Manning camp. Bobby, can he spin it? He's a California kid. Man, he can spin the rock. I'm not sure I'd be crazy about staying at Ole Miss. If this is what they're going to do with Rich Rod, man, I ain't quite sure about hanging around.
He might be like Matt Cassel, could play in the NFL and not start in college.
No, he could start somewhere else.
But no, but you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're talking about.
You never know, you could play, but Plumlee, let me tell you, Johnny B. Goode, John Forcade, he is like John Forcade.
Yeah, he's a lot like John.
Yes.
John Forcade plus. Listen, Plumlee, okay, John, don't hate me for saying this. You had a great skill set to be able to run the ball, and you could juke and jive, but I know you weren't as fast as him. Plumlee,
John could throw it better. He could throw it better than Plumlee.
Plumlee went to Oak Grove where Brett Favre was the offensive coordinator.
So how did they tackle him in high school? Because to me,
they just
trying. Because
he'd have been highly recruited, but he's not a big kid.
No, but in high school, I looked today in high school, his senior in high school, he threw for 2,500 yards and rushed for 1,400 yards.
Well, it's unbelievable how he can make plays with his feet. You know who he's going to be like? Mike and I was talking about this. He is Julian Edelman part two. Julian Edelman was a college quarterback, and you make him a slot receiver, he can have success in the NFL.
Yep.
Look at Julian Edelman and what he accomplished so far with the Patriots. So the bottom line is, you want to get paid. You can't be hard-headed. So Plumlee, all I know is when you think you have the angle on him, you don't have the angle.
And he's supposed to be playing baseball for Ole Miss as well.
Yeah.
He's an accomplished pianist. He's a pianist.
Then if he can do that, he'll get the chicks for sure.
Oh, yeah.
By playing that quarterback position, I think he got that market cornered already. Brother.
The whole Me Too movement. Can you say that?
You just did. What do you mean, can you say it? You just said
all
it.
All I know is you can play the piano. That's a big plus. Plus. I wish I could play the piano. It would have been dangerous.
No, you should see him. Every year we go to a Christmas party, and we sort of karaoke, him and I, Rich
Morton. Right.
But, man, well, listen, we can't carry a tune for nothing. But Bobby would much rather be the singer today.
Hey, listen, if I could be like Harry Connick and play NFL quarterback, are you freaking kidding me? There'd be not enough hours in the day. It'd be like crazy. No, if he can play the piano, I give him a lot of props on that.
He can play the piano. Dave, tell everybody a little bit about what's happening here at the Silver
Man,
Slipper.
This weekend we got Harvey, Jesus, and Fire playing. And of
course, Harvey's back.
Harvey's back. And then, of course, next week, with Thanksgiving coming around the corner, I have a traditional Thanksgiving meal in the Jubilee Buffet. And the Blue Bayou is going to have special hours opening up at 11 o'clock in the morning, and they're going to have
So Blue Bayou will be open all day?
All day, exactly. Okay. So at 11, they have Cajun deep-fried turkey, I believe it was an Angus prime rib, so it's going to be great.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so make sure you call and get
prime rib and deep-fried turkey, yep. Boy, I tell you what, they're melting your mouth.
There you go.
So that way we can do that and also watch the Saints Falcons, right?
Exactly.
They're playing on the road. We could come here.
Yeah, no, but I think we got to be in the studio, Rouse is going to take care of us
in
the studio. Yeah, they do a great Thanksgiving. Listen, people don't want the hassle. I can tell you right now, if you don't want to cook and do all that, and you
Rouse's
have a lot of,
can do it.
No, and you have a lot of responsibility, just go to Rouse's. They'll take care of you. And then you look like a chef.
And if you're in this area, you can stop by the Silver Slipper and get it also. Dave, tell us a little bit about, I know you guys got giveaways.
We do the Saturday after Thanksgiving, next Saturday, we're giving away another Ford Ranger at 9 o'clock at night.
What about the TVs?
The TVs, we'll give away a 50-inch TV every night at 7 p.m. all the way through New Year's Eve. So,
wow.
I know. So you see somebody walking out with a big TV, that's where they got it.
So. It's not that they swiped it from
exactly
somewhere.
Right.
Okay.
We've been giving away a nice electronic gifts now for over a year at 7 o'clock at night, and we're planning on continuing to do that in 2020.
I don't know if you guys have set this up, but, man, you guys have a great New Year's Eve. Able to attend it last year.
We do.
It was awesome.
It's going to be a 20s, flapper dress kind of a theme in here. Got the Dominoes from Hammond returning for the third straight year to play on stage from 9 to 1 o'clock.
Them cats changed, man, the costumes.
Oh, yeah, man, they're good. They're good. They're great. Great big band. They're like 10 people in the band. They all dress up. And
you know who also sings with the Dominoes from time to time? Glenn Boyd.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And, Glenn grew up right up the road from us. He went to Hornville High School. And from time to time, Glenn sings with the Dominoes. So, awesome. But, man, again, Thanksgiving. Tell everybody again about what's happening here.
Thanksgiving, again, the traditional Thanksgiving spread in the Jubilee Buffet, number one buffet in the state. And then the Blue Bayous has special hours opening up at 11 o'clock in the morning with the two entrees, Cajun fried turkey and Angus prime rib.
Oh, wow.
Man,
and if you want to watch the game, they'll have the big screen
Got the big screen up to watch the revenge game when the Saints beat the Dirty Birds.
That's right.
Man, it seems sort of strange that, say revenge game because this is a game. Man, Sean Payton has really done a great job against the Falcons. When you look at his record against the Falcons, man, he sort of dominated the series. And then to have that type of game,
but the
Falcons, the Saints.
The Falcons are hot now. They whooped the Saints and they whooped Carolina, so that's going to be interesting to see what's going to occur.
Well, Kyle Allen dropped back down to earth real quick yesterday.
Yeah, he's real fast. I don't think he's the future for Carolina.
No, I think they're going to have to go and get someone else. Dave, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Also, too, if you want to stay here, get in touch with the folks about reservations.
Yeah, get
hotel-wise.
Your because this time of year we're sold out, so get your reservation. Big Henry, go
All
ahead.
Right.
Who that?
Big Henry's in the house.
Come on down.
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate it. We'll be back with more Second Guess. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTellier, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 6:30 tonight, and then we'll throw it to the Rouse's Markets Coaches Show with head coach Sean Payton. His guest tonight will be defensive line coach Ryan Nielsen. And at 7:30 tonight, right here on the Big 870, Monday Night Football, live from Mexico City, the Kansas City Chiefs play the L.A. Chargers. On the line with us now, Big John from Mid-City. Big John in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It is indeed a very good Monday around this city and around the Houdat Nation and LSU Nation.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I have a great deal of disdain and contempt for the entire Alabama football program and for Coach Saban and the Alabama fan base, but not to the point where I want to wish anybody ill. And, my thoughts and prayers go out to Tua Tagovailoa, because he's what you call a worthy opponent, and you never want to see anything of that nature happen to a young man. So here's wishing him a very healthy recovery, and that he's soon back in football and probably playing for a team.
We all agree on that, Big John. He's a hell of a competitor, great player, maybe the best offensive player that Nick Saban's ever coached at Alabama. You think about what he's done to put so much spotlight, and the program's already got it, but he is such a great football player. You hate to see that he goes down in that manner. And even today, you talk about redemption in life. And everybody gets second chances. You know, you want a second chance in life. And Coach O's always brought this up about, hey, listen, was no choir boy myself, you know, and people gave me second chances in life. The fact that he would let Mike Divinity come back to the football team. In fact, just moments ago, Mike Divinity posted this out. Feels good to be back with my brothers and coaching staff. So Coach O, open that door for him. If you're willing to get some help, we're going to help you, and we want you back here at LSU. But we send our best to Tua, because we know just how much he's meant to that program and what he's done for the SEC. He's a big-time football player.
He's just a great individual. I mean, you never hear anything bad about Tua.
And he's a man of the Lord, so to speak. He's a very Christian young man.
And anybody who has a good, solid faith and believes in doing good for others, you always want to root for them. And Alabama's a family just like LSU's a family. And the LSU family is joining hands with the Alabama family right now, wishing him well. Now, that being said, let me ask a question for which I'm sure I'm going to know what your answer is going to be in that regard. And that is, understanding fully that a quarterback needs to get reps and that it was still the first half, he was a quarterback who was already injured. Why is he still in the game, even it's the first half and it's a 35-7 game? Wouldn't that have been a better time to get the backup quarterback into the game and let him start getting the reps and keeping Tua from another injury like this? Because I really do think that the first injury played into him having the second injury and his inability to escape from the pass rush.
The only thing I can tell you is, this does come into play, because you have different phases of the game, and then Coach Saban, that made sense to me. And you might say, you know what, we could do that in practice. But practice the two-minute offense, and you do it in a real game.
Yeah.
So that made sense when Saban said that. But also, I don't think this came into consideration, but the Heisman race is not over. Did Tua maybe want to continue to play and put skins on the wall because it ain't over till it's over? That's the only thing that I observe with Tua and the games well in hand against Mississippi State is that, okay, they're living to fight or play another day, and they want to be clicking on all cylinders, two-minute offense, and also Tua to put up great numbers to maybe potentially be the Heisman winner. That's the only thing I can figure out all what occurred.
Okay, fair enough. Let's turn to the Saints for a second. And yesterday, Jameis Winston basically played like you play the piano and sing, Bobby. the Saints really – Jameis Winston was the best tonic for that football team yesterday. But I tell you, having a healthy Alvin Kamara – is all the difference on offense. And I know it sounded like a broken record, but as DeMario Davis goes, so goes the Saints defense, because as talented and as great as Cam Jordan is, DeMario Davis is the straw that stirs the drink on defense for that football team.
Well, when you look at it, and Alvin Kamara had 154 yards total. And, the bottom line is he averaged 6 yards a carry, considering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had number one rush defense. We averaged 4 yards a carry, ended up getting 109, and Calvin Kamara had 75 of those. And then you look at it, this is impressive. You don't think Drew Brees trusts Alvin Kamara? 10 targets, 10 receptions. Now, you might say a 5-yard average, whatever, but it's still a positive play. Is a good play. So we're looking at Alvin Kamara. Then you throw in there, Deontay Harris is not available. You look at the punt return. Alvin Kamara has a long gain of 27 yards. He averaged 11 yards punt return. I'll tell you, that's like Pro Bowl. You average 11, 12, 13, 14 yards of punt return, you're a Pro Bowl, if not an all-pro type returner. So when all said and done, Alvin Kamara, 154 yards total, I'm real encouraged going forward. The bottom line is get his touches. You know, however that might occur. So you look 13 rushing attempts, 10, so that's 23 plus 3 in the return game. So was that 26? I think that's about right. I think that's about right for Alvin Kamara. Then Sean Payton will figure out with Latavius Murray and Alvin Kamara how we're going to distribute the wealth. So that's a good problem to have because I think they're that good.
And my thing is you got back to balanced football.
Yeah.
That was what you got away from against the Falcons, but you got beat up in the trenches. You saw yesterday every play they were harassing Jameis Winston. They had someone in his face. They were showing him different looks. They were coming at him from different angles. But you were winning in the trenches.
Nobody watches that
inside, but you saw yesterday what happened.
Well, I can tell you exactly what happened. The Tampa Bay tackles suck compared to Atlanta.
No, that's true.
I'm telling the offensive tackles and Cam Jordan and Davenport off the edge. And listen, Cam understood the task at hand. When you get after Matt Ryan, we win. And that was not the case in that first game. We're going to have a chance Thanksgiving night. But I'm telling you, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tackles, they suck. They're not very good. They're not very good, and we took advantage of that. So, Mike, again, when you look at it, and Big John, 28 rushing attempts. So you see the balance there. And Drew Brees threw the ball so basically 35 times.
And no, you ran it 28.
Yeah. So that's the
balance.
That's
what you want.
And not like Tampa Bay throwing the ball 51 times. And then, come on, what did they run?
Eight times.
Eight. You never winning. Eight rushing attempts.
That was like the Saints the week previous.
Yeah.
It was almost a flip the script.
Yeah.
Of what you did. And you saw a more focused team. They came out to play out of a lot of intensity.
They had a chip on their shoulder. I think their manhood got questioned last week, and they came out with a big chip on their shoulder, and they took it out on Tampa big time.
And the other thing, too, is the fact that, man, in crucial situations, it wasn't how that they missed Favre on third down, but how they missed Favre. Man, sometimes Winston's throws, there was no one around it where the ball landed. No one around the football. So, he had a wet-the-diaper moment.
I'm glad you brought that up, Mike, because I said this in the pregame. It'll be interesting to see who's going to win. And Big John, is that both teams, it's amazing. You know, all of a sudden you look at the sample size as the halfway point. Both teams were outstanding on third down defense. They came in, it was exactly 33%. Yep. And we got 54% and they only got 38. So who won that? What did Sean Payton say after we lost the Falcons game? I'll just look at third down. Look at third down, I can tell you what happened.
And you jumped on them quick, and we had not seen that from this football team, that they jumped all over Tampa really early. And that had been something sort of missing from this offense. They had not been able to put the ball in the end zone, in the red zone when they got there, had to settle for field goals. But you saw it this week. They were able to get those touchdowns early.
What did he ask me?
No, he wants to know when you're coming to the slip.
When you're coming with your homeboys.
Yeah, you know who's here.
Henry, I got 3 more weeks left in my semester, and then Big John's going to come kill that professor.
You got 3 more weeks, Henry.
Three more weeks he's going to come.
Henry's wife might let him come back in 3 weeks. But he's going to have that permission.
I'll go to his wife and ask him to let him go.
You got to – come on. Henry, you got to talk to your wife to let you come week in and week out. Now, the one thing, because you got to pay attention to detail. The one thing that we got to still get better.
Penalties.
Yes. We had 9 penalties. I'm telling you, you don't want to be 9 penalties or 100 yards. Whether you think what's a legit call or not legit call, because, Mike, that can – because we look at all areas. And I know Sean Payton is emphasizing that, and they'll break down all those penalties, positive or negative, that we got to get better in that area.
If you heard the announcers – that Dotson was screaming at him, "Hey, illegal hands to the face!" You know that, and that they had called that the week before
against Atlanta.
But I think the Atlanta coaches, because I actually walked out with the guy with referee, he told me that they had been told, "Watch for it."
Right, exactly.
And so when that happens, you get caught doing it.
But the bottom line is, Big John and Mike, the Saints setting the tone. If we do this every game. Time of possession, we top 5 in the NFL. I want to say right at number 4, we had the ball 14 minutes more than Tampa Bay.
Where
and we're on the road. Who's setting the tone? Hello? Yeah, come on.
It. Exactly. Big John, thanks for the call, bud. We appreciate it. And we'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break on the Big 870. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTellier, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I'll be here until 6:30 tonight, and it'll be the Rouse's Markets Coaches Show with head coach Sean Payton. His guest tonight will be Saints defensive line coach Ryan Nielsen. On the line with us now, Tim Rebo, the head football coach at Nicholls State University. This segment is brought to you weekly by the sports medicine team of Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, Rouse's Markets, and also First American Bank. Timmy, congratulations. And now all the chips are in the middle of the table. Who would have thought a year ago, you guys in Southeastern and the way that game turned out, man, I know Coach Selfo wasn't happy about how his team played. And now it's sort of everything in the middle of the table. For at least a portion of the Southland Conference title.
And in the playoff picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of felt like it's been the playoffs the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get on that run just to stay in it. But, look, I was happy for our guys. It was a big win for us on Saturday. And you're going to notice, Mike, there's a good friend of ours, Pete Jenkins, who always tells us that people remember – the teams of late October and November.
Yep.
And so for us to be able to be playing for something significant this time of year is really special for our team.
Now, Coach Rebo, a two-part question. When you look at this class, you got to take a lot of pride in this, considering when you come on board that the senior class has been one of the most successful in school history, setting a record for total wins of 29. And then you look at those players maturing, and you witness a game, a rivalry-type game against McNeese, and probably the best first half of the year. I just want you to elaborate on that, considering the players involved and how you set the tone the first half against the McNeese State Cowboys.
Yeah, a very special class, Bobby. You know, those guys came in here with not a lot of we didn't have a lot of wins to talk about or something. We were just trying to build it, and those guys believed in it and came in. And the Sullys and the Chases and Dontrell Taylors and the Pittmans, those guys came in here and really went to work and laid the groundwork for the most wins in school history by a senior class. And, you know, to play a game against your rival, McNeese, and to beat them like we did, and to think about it, too, they always said it's not much of a rival if it's one-sided. And before we got here, it kind of been one-sided where McNeese had had our number quite a few years. So to do what we did in our home turf and – well, we played good, Bobby. I tell you, we had over 400 yards of offense in the first half, and the defense just allowed them 36 yards. I don't know if you can get much better than that.
Yeah, I mean, that's total domination. And then you look at Chase Forcade always bringing it, 21 of 36, 374 yards and 3 touchdowns, breaking his own record, I want to say, back in 2017, 358 yards. And, boy, but what about you look at his weapons? I'm looking at the Dejon Dixon, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden.
Yeah. He was back.
A career high receiving 185 yards and 7 catches. Well, I know you welcome that scenario.
Yeah, well, you know, he'd been out for about 5 or 6 weeks. He had a broken collarbone. So it was his first game back. It was a last-minute decision. He got cleared to play. And he had been a big weapon before he had gotten hurt. So to get him back to go along with Deion Ray, Chase was just ecstatic to have those big weapons out there to throw to.
Coach, during one of the sacks, I normally don't get into it, but, I gave a big shout to Sully. The official that was next to me and your brother, we trying to help you out, Coach. Best we can. He turned to me and said, is that guy related to you? I told him, I said, sorta. It's a long explanation with Sully. But like Chase, man, they have put their footprint on this program and being able to be such different makers. And, again, we saw the dominance of Sully Lesh inside for you. Every week it's just amazing how teams are trying to scheme up to block him, and yet in this game he gets 2 sacks.
Yeah, and I got to give, again, credit to our D-line coach, Marcel Andre, and our coordinator, Tommy Rybecki. They're moving him around and putting him in some places, where they can't just say, hey, they know where he's going to be every snap. So he does a good job of that. And, boy, Sully makes the most of it. And, Mike, what's amazing is Sully didn't practice last week. We had about 4 or 5 guys out with the flu. But I tell you, there was nothing going to keep him off the field playing that day. And just to get after the quarterback like he did was really special.
Now, Coach Rebo, have you ever been involved in a game? You probably have, but I'm just going to ask you. Then I'm looking at McNeese, ran only 6 plays in the first quarter to Nichols, was 28. Didn't get a first down until less than 4 minutes remaining in the half. And they had 34 yards in the first half. I mean, have you witnessed that kind of domination? I know we elaborated on the first half. I mean, it was like almost like, whoa, we hit the lottery. But have you ever been involved in that type of game like that?
And I don't think I have, really. It was really special. And a lot of times it doesn't seem like it. You get so caught up in that first quarter. And then in that first half, man, a lot of things happening. And I'm just worrying about, not turning the ball over.
Right.
And then going to the next series. So it was special.
Coach, one of the things, I'll bring up the negative side of it. Rusty and I got a good view of the kickoff return for a touchdown and on that spot. And that's something that, for whatever reason, you've had some breakdowns on the special teams part of the game. But that big run back when you had all the momentum going for you.
Yeah, 95 yards.
And then to have that kickoff return, man, that's the one thing that drives coaches crazy. And I know you had a little conversation with the referee about a possible block in the back, but in that sort of thing, that could be a momentum changer in a real close football game.
Well, it was. It was 10-0. I felt like we were dominating and controlling the game. Next thing you know, it's 10-7, and you're going, oh, here we go. It's a whole combination, Mike. We got to try to fix. We didn't get a great kick where we wanted. It was a low line drive. So our coverage team really can't get down the field, and we did miss a couple tackles also, but there's no excuse for that. But those things are game changers, and you got to be careful, because when you get into a close one, that could be the difference. You're right.
Bobby? Now, Coach Rebo, you look at the history in Southeast Louisiana and Nichols State. I mean, bottom line is, I don't know if they've ever had a bigger game. You play for the River Bell and that classic and all that, but winner take all as far as the Southland Conference Championship is going to come here Thursday night. He's going to be here before you know it, considering, Central Arkansas is there, but both Southeast and Nichols has beaten Central Arkansas. So this is really, like you said, a playoff game, and I don't know if there's ever been more on the line considering the rivalry between Nichols State and Southeastern.
I don't think there has. I'm going to have to go back and look. I know this. We looked at the series, and the series is tied 14-14. We've been going back and forth. We had a big win last year. It's going to be special. And I think Self O&M have done a fantastic job getting his team to where we are right now, to 6-2 in the conference and playing for the championship. So, it's a short week for both of us. We had a good practice today. It's a little different. We had to practice on a Monday, but it's a little bit easier. They had a little more pep in their step coming off the last weekend game. So our guys will be ready for it on Thursday.
Coach, I'll tell you a real quick story. Coach Lofton, I'm talking to him last summer, and he was like, man, when I was at Southeastern, when we played Northwestern State, and, man, we all geared up, man, for A-Bear and their passing attack. And he said, you know what happens? That damn A-Bear beats us running the ball.
Yes.
And he said, A-Bear, and he said, put it to you this way, I wasn't the only one. He did it to Nichols, too.
Yeah.
Running the football.
I actually had, now, Coach Rebo, I can't run like Chase or his uncle, but I had three games rushing over 100 yards because I could fling it. But you know, when it, you know, you run the option and it was like, okay, do you let Bobby Hebert running or do you let Joe Delaney, who was working the year with the Kansas City Chiefs? So all I would do was fake the pitch to Delaney and just keep it. And I couldn't help but gain yardage.
Yeah, Lawson West, man, of all people to beat us running. Then he said, listen, I can accept him beating us passing, but I can't accept him beating us running. It was a great – you'd have to hear Coach Lofton tell the story. I mean, he's really good at it.
But, Bobby, we always talk about who do you want to carry the ball? We would have three guys on Delaney and let you carry it. You're right.
Right. No, without a doubt. And that's why I think by accident I got three games over 100 yards in college.
Coach, thanks so much. We appreciate your time. Best of luck this coming Thursday night. Man, a huge game. But you guys have walked that football aisle before in big games. So I know you're playing in Hammond, but I think that's an advantage. Your football team has played in these huge games before.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a Thursday night game is going to be a great atmosphere, great crowd. I know how people are going to travel. Right. From here, we did that 2 years ago. We're going to have a lot of red in the stands over there. I hope we can draw off of some of the past experiences that our guys have been through playing in these big games, and hopefully that can give us an advantage.
Well, Coach, I'll be there Thursday night. Best of luck to you.
All right. Thank you, fellas. I'll see you soon.
All right,
thanks
Coach
a lot.
Rebo.
Coach Tim Rebo, head football coach at Nicholls State University. This segment's brought to you weekly by the sports medicine team of Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, Rouse's Markets, and also First American Bank. We'll be back with more Second Guess.